Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Sunday, September 25th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. We're back from Washington, D.C., and I'm proud to say that activism is alive and well in America. And it was proved yesterday by the 250 to 300,000 people that migrated to Washington, D.C. and surrounded George Bush's White House.
And that doesn't even include all the people who were still trying to get there. Mm-hmm. People on the metro system who were stuck in various stations at different points around the country who were trying to get there and erupted into spontaneous demonstrations and protests at these stations when they realized they weren't going to be able to get there on time.
Conveniently, there were all sorts of electrical problems that it was blamed on. That's why these trains couldn't make it to D.C. But we want to give everybody who was there a round of applause. It was fantastic. And I'll tell you what, after seeing what happened yesterday, it's probably the proudest I've ever been to be an American citizen. That's what America is right there.
This was an unforgettable day in both of our lives. We have never seen so many people converging and trying to get to one place in our entire life.
Mm-hmm. When I say I was proud to be an American, this isn't the America of war. This isn't the America of 9/11, the America of murders, the America of taxation or graft.
Or torture.
Or torture, or being infiltrated by outside forces. This is the America of doing the right thing, of people standing up and saying, enough is enough, we're tired of what's going on, and we're not going to take it anymore.
This was the conscience of America. Right at the heart of the corruption of America.
Yeah. Now, I've seen and done a lot in my life. I've been a lot of places. We've been to a lot of protests here in the last 5 or 6 months. And I'm pretty jaded. But I'll tell you what. After yesterday, I was blown away by what I saw. It's hard to even put into words what happened yesterday. It was historic, and that's not an exaggeration.
This was the major Vietnam protest of the 21st century, no doubt about it. And if you missed it, you missed something tremendous, unforgettable, and totally electric.
Yeah. Now, we live here in State College, Pennsylvania. It's home of Penn State University, and we have the second largest stadium in the country. It seats 109,000 people. It's bigger than the Rose Bowl. It's bigger than the Los Angeles Coliseum. It's the second biggest stadium. The only one bigger is Michigan's stadium, which holds 112,000. So every time Penn State plays here, they have anywhere from 100 to 109,000 people converging on this stadium. And the amount of people that we saw yesterday dwarfed that. It wasn't
far
even close.
Far exceeded it. And on the way home, we even heard a report from D.C. radio saying several thousand people were in attendance. We strongly refute that. It was way beyond that. And we saw no pro-Bush protesters there. But apparently there were some, and the radio reported that the anti-war protesters dwarfed them 100 to 1. I'd say that's probably like 10,000 to 1.
Yeah. And to give you an idea of how the numbers have escalated, as Lisa said, when we were coming out of D.C. yesterday, we were listening to CBS radio, and they said there were thousands of people there. Then when we got home, I turned on the TV, CNN headline said there were tens of thousands. Then in our local newspaper right here, it said there were maybe 100,000, but now, then, we get the Washington Post, which actually did a very good job of covering this. You can see some beautiful color pictures there. It was very colorful, as you can see. So they, the Washington Post and also CNN, are saying now 250 to 300,000 people.
And when we left, the people were still coming. They were coming from everywhere, all walks of life, young and old, disabled, people upright on 2 feet, with their dogs, with their babies, with their children. just anarchists with their bandanas on their faces, just every kind of person imaginable.
Young, old, every color. It was just phenomenal how they came together.
Right.
And we're going to go over kind of an overview of what happened there. But first, when we left the area where they were giving the speeches, it was called the Ellipse, and it was right in front of the White House.
Mm-hmm.
We walked out of there, and of course we had our banner. And I want you to thank again
Kevin Groves of Evansville, Indiana, who worked overtime at work for no pay to make us this brand new vinyl banner. It was excellent. It drew so much attention, and we can use it, you know, forever now.
Right. And I know that our paper banner, even though it was 14 feet long and it was taped and tattered and put together, it wouldn't have survived.
Because it did start to rain lightly at one point while we were there. So thank you, Kevin. We can't thank you enough.
Right. And and later on we'll tell you why it wouldn't have survived, because it got really intense there. But another thing I wanted to mention was that this banner, and like the other one that we had before, every time we hold it up, it's like an instant magnet for cameras. And it was just like that yesterday. We walked inside this Ellipse, and it was before they started giving the speeches. So they had this big tower of speakers there. It looked like a rock concert is what it looked like. And we unrolled this. It must be 15 feet. This one's even bigger than the other one. Unrolled it, color, everything. And as soon as we unrolled it, pictures were just snapping from every direction.
Right.
It was so great.
And there was a lot of media presence there. A lot. In fact, the woman who wrote the article in the Village Voice about our Ground Zero protest, Sarah Ferguson,
was right beside us.
Curiously enough, ended up standing right next to me at that event and was very rude.
Yeah, probably the only rude person in the entire place. Is pretty. I think it was because they wouldn't allow her over the gate or whatever to be in
the barricade
to be in the other media area. But you know what's kind of funny is, considering all the pictures taken, doesn't seem like the Washington Post put any pictures into that 9/11 World Trade Center controlled demolition.
Either or did, probably any of the other 9/11 signs that were there. Yeah. We were also very encouraged and heartened to see New York 9/11 Truth members there, and some members of 9/11truth.org who apparently defy the leadership. So thank you all for being there and speaking out for 9/11 truth, because if it wasn't for the lies of 9/11, we wouldn't even be in this bogus
war. That's right. And anyone who watches this show on a regular basis knows that we have some differences with 9/11truth.org. But right now, we're giving them the thumbs up, because they went there yesterday and they had that big, it was huge. It was a big thing. It said 9/11 was an inside job. And just like us, it seems like
the Bush administration engineered 9/11. Yeah. New York 9/11 truth, hats off to you.
Yeah, that's right. And if it wasn't for them and us with our 9/11 World Trade Center controlled demolition banner, 9/11 wouldn't have been represented there. So it's good that at least a few people came. And
I'll tell you what, the public was extremely receptive to what we had to say. They came up and said, "What does your sign mean?" And we told them, and people asked a lot of questions and listened closely and carefully. And nobody refuted what we were saying. A couple of people said, "You know, you're crazy," but like 99.9% of the people were right on with the message.
Oh, that's right. And most people did know, because they'd come by and they'd say, "Well, it's good to know that somebody knows the truth here," and we'd give them a smile and a thumbs up, and a lot of people are aware of this. And what blows me away sometimes is the people that don't believe 9/11. Usually, a lot of times, they're liberals, they're Democrats, and I'll say to them, like, "Well, do you believe all the other lies that the Bush administration has told?" And they're like, "Well, of course." I said, "Well, if you believe all them other lies, why all of a sudden would they be telling the truth about 9/11? Doesn't that seem a little bit odd? That they lie about everything else, but all of a sudden they tell the truth about what happened on 9/11. It doesn't add up at all."
And once again, many, many people came up and thanked us and were hugging us and telling us how happy they were that we were there with that banner.
Right. And we have to apologize. We know a lot of people were coming, said they were coming, and they wanted to come up and say hello. But with 250 to 300,000 people, it was impossible, and we regret not being able to see everyone. But
In fact, we want to tell BG, who was trying to meet us there, there would have been no way we would have ever found you, even if we could have found a phone to call you from.
That's right.
So we hope you were there, and we hope you're watching today.
Yeah, we also want to show this T-shirt that we picked up yesterday. It's beautiful. And also, there's a guy He gave us a free T-shirt yesterday. He'd like, we said we'd give him a quick plug. So he's from, I got to see what this says down here, the Cape Cod Peace and Justice Organization, and everything's right there.
Is there a website?
Yeah, www.capecodpeaceandjustice.org. So that's the kind of people, you know, you just see people along the street. And there was even one guy, he came up and we were holding our banner, and Lisa was talking to the crowd, and he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, are you guys them guys from Wing TV, Lisa and the other guy?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm Victor." He says, "You don't look like Victor." I said, "Well, I didn't put on a new face when I came out here today." He says, "You don't look like him at all." So
one man came up to me and said, "You know, this is a very big message that you're giving out." I said, "Yes, I know that." He said, "Well, if the people ever really find out about this, all hell's going to break loose." I said, "I know."
Yeah.
And he said, "Thank you. Keep doing what you're doing."
Yeah. If they're mad about this war, if people found out en masse about 9/11, there would this madness would go beyond outrage.
Yeah, we think that as angry as people are and outraged about the Iraq war, if they really know the truth about 9/11, Pandora's box is going to open up. It's just going to blow.
Yeah, that's right. So here, let's start telling people what happened yesterday. We arrived in D.C., what, about 9 o'clock?
Between 9 and 10.
Yeah, and found a place to park our car. And so we walked towards the White House. We were about 3 or 4 blocks away. And even 3 blocks away at 9 in the morning, there were already huge congregations of people
right
on the corners holding up their banners. And right then we knew, like, this is going to be big.
Uh-huh.
So we went around to the side of the White House that has Lafayette Park on. This is the same side we were on for the D.C. Truth Convergence. And so there were already a lot of people there milling around, but they said you have to go around to the other side to this ellipse, and that's where the speeches are going to be given, and then this march is going to start. So we went around there, went inside the ellipse, and unfurled our banner.
Right, and there was plenty of room for us to do that at that point.
At that point.
While there were some protesters already there was plenty of open space because we were so early. So we got to check out what was going on, and the barricades were already set up with a few police, but it wasn't what it looked like about an hour or so later.
Right, so we had a good chance to hold this banner up where everybody could see it, but as it got closer to the time when this event started, it became where it was just such a throng of people that we had to just put the banner, because nobody could see anything
this
at that point.
This doesn't even describe it. We were literally squished up against the barricade. We were closest to the White House because we'd gotten there so early.
Well, this is still in the ellipse where they have this tower, and we're right up near the stage. I mean, 10 or 15 feet away.
You couldn't even walk through that park because the people were touching each other. When we left that park, our clothes were filthy.
Yeah.
And people literally stepping on us to get past because we had such a prime spot by the stage.
Yeah, like I'm saying, this was similar to a rock concert where you were just jammed in there. So anyway, the speeches started. And we can't mention everyone, of course, but Cynthia McKinney was up there. Mm-hmm. And to her credit, she was the only person that we heard on the stage even mention the words 9/11.
She didn't get into any specifics, but she did mention 9/11 and the false pretenses that led to the Iraq war. So we thank her for that much.
Of course, there's so much more than just false pretenses.
Right.
There was, direct government involvement. But at least she mentioned those words. Nobody else did.
Right.
Then there was Jesse, Me First Jackson, and we have more stories about him later on in the day, but he comes dressed in his typical blue socialist outfit. That's, he reminds me of the old socialists, you know, with just the drab blue. And his speech was probably the worst of all of them.
It was lame.
He just read off a script, and then Cindy Sheehan was there. She came up, and she got the crowd going pretty good.
Uh-huh.
Now, there was a lot more speeches following them, but we figured we want to get out there where the people are, get out there in the action. So we went out and fought our way through the crowd, got outside this ellipse.
Yeah, I figured if we didn't leave early enough, we'd never get a spot by the White House. And I'm glad that we did that because we never would have gotten anywhere near the White House. So we got the prime spot that we wanted because we went ahead of the march.
That's right. So we went outside there, unfurled our banner again. Instantly, the cameras are coming out, shooting pictures. Lisa's talking to the crowd and so forth. And finally, we figure we better loop around to the other side of the White House. Now, try to imagine this. It said on the radio that there were 4 blocks completely cordoned off in one direction, 14th, 5th, 14th Street, 15th Street, 16th Street, and 17th Street, plus Constitution Avenue, Pennsylvania Avenue, and all of the other streets around it. So they blocked off probably eight or nine total city blocks.
The chain of protesters lined both sides of every street and the middle of the road,
yeah,
too. And it snaked just all around the surrounding side streets. There was no way to get around or through it without being just mobbed with a wall of people.
That's right. And it was so thick at one point that you have the sidewalk, you have two lanes going one direction, the stagger lane, two lanes the other one, and the sidewalk. Now, this all, it's just people. And we were dead stopped.
Yeah.
You couldn't move. This was like four or five lanes of a highway plus two sidewalks. And you couldn't move. You couldn't walk anywhere.
I think the only reason we got through as fast as we did, and it wasn't easy for us, is because I'm used to walking through crowds in New York, which is always congested. But it was amazing. We've never seen that many people trying to be at one place all at the same time. And as we were walking, people were still coming in, an influx.
So anyway, we looped around. We got to the other side of the White House. This is where that photo on the front or on the homepage of Wing TV is. So we held our banner out there again. People were taking pictures like crazy. But within, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, there were so many people.
Marchers arrived.
Yeah, the marchers were all coming around that it just ended up blurring out the sign again. So we ended up, there was three lines of barricades. And the one closest to the White House is where we are. So there's nobody between us
and the cops.
And the cops and the White House. I mean, we're right up against the barricades. We have our sign up there. We're holding it for all the guards to see and the police officers. And so we're there, and it just keeps getting thicker and thicker, and there's people yelling.
I literally
and
couldn't,
screaming.
Couldn't move. I couldn't turn around all the way. Right behind me was a woman in a wheelchair. What's going on? She says, what's going on? And so I was having to give her the play-by-play.
Yeah.
There's no way she could have seen.
So it's already thick enough. Then all of a sudden, I feel this massive wave of people coming in.
Right.
Well, who it is Jesse Jackson and Cindy Sheehan. Now, they're as close as I am to Lisa right now. They're right beside me. I say hi to Cindy Sheehan, tell her how we were on a radio show together on Hesham Talawi's show. But it seemed like Jesse was kind of controlling this whole scene, and he wanted, you know, the big photo op. And the paparazzi was like the Academy Awards. I mean, there was literally just hundreds of cameras.
All you saw was flashes going off.
And so they're taking these pictures. So we had a T-shirt that we were going to give somebody.
A Wing TV T-shirt.
Wing TV. So I'm holding this T-shirt up behind Jesse and Cindy Sheehan's heads. And Jesse looks over at me and he's like, take that shirt down. And he's growling at me. And his handlers are pulling my arms down. Well, as soon as they pull it down, I put the Wing TV shirt up, right? So everyone's snapping pictures is getting this Wing TV shirt in there. And they pull my hands down. I put it up again.
What Victor was trying to do was get photos taken of the Wing shirt so people could check it out.
Exactly.
And what Jesse was trying to do was get the cops to let him and Cindy cross the barricade so he could have a photo op with Cindy Sheehan alone with the cops, the White House, and the law enforcement officer with the street sweeper in the backdrop.
Yeah. But needless to say, the cops were very, I guess, hesitant to open up these barricades. There's hundreds of thousands of people there.
If they would have opened that barricade, there would have been a mad rush of an ocean of people.
And it would have been
big trouble.
And Jesse Jackson doesn't give a damn. He's just worried about his photo op in front of the White House with Cindy Sheehan. So finally, I'm holding his shirt up, and somebody grabs it and like wraps it around the barricade and won't let it go.
Right.
But Jesse was looking over at me and giving me those just deadly killer stares.
And when they weren't allowed to cross the barricade immediately, Jackson got angry, and they tore out of there like a bat out of hell.
Yeah, it was just like, he couldn't get what he wanted. Uh-huh. So, I mean, that's the only reason he was there, was to get pictures snapped of
Jesse
himself.
Jesse Jackson exploits every situation and event where there's a crowd and media attention for his own purposes, and it was disgusting, pathetic, and lame.
Yeah. Now, we have to mention, we'd be remiss if we didn't. Mm-hmm. Was there a police state in Washington, D.C.?
No.
Again, absolutely not.
There was a very heavy police presence that lined the entire block of the White House and every block where there were protesters that was cordoned off. But that was natural because of the amount of people that were converging.
Yeah. If you had 200,000 people out in front of your house, wouldn't you want some kind of security? If you had 200 people. So there were cops. They had street sweepers. They were all packing. Tear gas canisters. Their riot helmets on.
Sniper on the roof of the White House.
But I'll tell you what. We held up that banner, 9/11 World Trade Center controlled demolition. If you would have heard the things that were being yelled at the White House, at these police officers, and you know what, folks? There was no police state. There was nobody beaten.
Right.
And you know, the people that we saw there, they weren't afraid.
No.
There was no fear in their eyes. You know what these people were? They were courageous.
Yes.
They were angry. They were active. And they were pissed off at the powers that be for allowing what has happened to this country happen. They weren't cowering underneath their beds. They weren't biting their fingernails, crying about a police state. They said, we're sick and tired of what's going on. And they went out and showed how sick and tired they were
yelling violently at the White House and at the police. And they were telling the guy with the street sweeper, turn your gun around and point it toward them, not the crowd. You're on the wrong side. You're protecting the wrong people. It was so heated and intense, but there was no violence. The police let everyone say and yell whatever they wanted. Someone even threw a banana peel at the police, and it landed at the foot of one cop, and nothing was done.
Yeah,
nothing.
And considering the things being said to these police officers, they didn't react. They didn't come out and beat our heads in. And now you tell me how we can we've been more active, I'll bet, than any other media person in the last 6 months. Every one of these events, there has been no sign of a police state whatsoever. So everyone out there that's sitting underneath their beds and crying about a police state, we saw the real America yesterday. The people that stand up.
You know, somebody today even said, well, you know, if that banner would barricade would have fallen, they would have used those guns on you guys. So, you know, you're talking in might haves and could haves. The fact is, they didn't.
Right.
The people that were there to exercise their right of freedom of speech.
And we didn't think about those things.
No.
We didn't think about being afraid or what could have happened. We went there because we had a reason.
Well,
we wanted to join everyone else.
Somebody who says something like that to me is talking out of his fear, because that's typical of the person who never gets out there.
Yeah.
And any excuse or reason not to is better than none.
That's right. So we just want to say thumbs up, a standing ovation to every single person, all 250 to 300,000 of you out there. You're the real America.
That's right.
You're the America that we embrace, and you're the America that gives us hope for the future.
Right. And while there were many, many varying messages, it was all under one umbrella.
Yep.
No more war, no more Bush, no more neocons.
That's right.
And that's the bottom line. We were hearing people talking about weather modification, these issues we talk about commonly on the internet, but never hear out in the street, were being discussed openly. It was heartening, and it gave us joy.
That's right. Now, this show is going to be up until Tuesday afternoon. Tomorrow, we're going to go down to Harrisburg. We're going to join Pennsylvania Operation Clean Sweep, where they want to get rid of all the incumbents in office, and we're going to lend our support to that cause.
Cleaning house in Pennsylvania.
Right. Then Tuesday, we're going to have Mr. Jim Tucker, who's exposed the Bilderbergs more than any other human being on the planet.
Oh, and one more thing. Okay. We're going to be having reports from Patriot Jim Kujwa from the St. Peter, Petersburg, Tampa
rally
yesterday, and he's already sent me a lot of pictures, so we'll
Very
be using
good.
Those this week too.
Right, and also make sure you check out Lisa's photo gallery at the end here. It's to John Lennon's Power to the People, and these are all the pictures that we took. So stay tuned. We'll be back on Tuesday. Until then, keep your eyes open, because there's a lot going on.
America rocks.